Sounds like old Madden when I was playing Madden 97. The best Madden ever. When no one...
Hell yeah.
Oh, well, maybe if we go a bit further, and I think it was 07. It was the year when... who was the quarterback? And the quarterback was... Who was the quarterback? It's the only way that you're going to remember him. But who was the quarterback that got done for the dog betting?
Michael Vick.
Yeah. When I think it was 2007 Madden, and literally, if you had Michael Vick on your side, you could not lose.
You wouldn't be losing.
Michael Vick was you could not touch him. If he threw pinpoint. If he ran, he had a touchdown. It was ridiculous. But anyway.
Atlanta Falcons prime Michael Vick.
Prime Michael Vick. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. This is week 3 of the NFL. Run through the scores like we did last week, and then we'll talk about a few games. We'll start with the Friday game, which was the Dolphins beating the Jaguars 31-13. The Bears, 30-26 after another Falcons collapse.
Oh, my God.
Bills beat the Rams 35-32. The Browns beat Washington football team 34-20. The Titans beat the Vikings 31-30. Pats beat the Raiders 36-20. The 49ers beat the New York Giants 36-9. The Bengals and the Eagles.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but that's just, oh, my God.
23-all for the Bengals and Eagles. The Steelers beat the Texans, the winless Texans, 28-21. The Colts beat the Jets, speaking of another New York team, 36-7. The Panthers beat the Chargers, 21-16.
What is happening in New York?
Yeah, I'd hate to live in New York at the moment. The Buckeyes beat the Broncos, 28-10. The Lions beat the Cardinals. That I did not pick that one. 26-23. No, I didn't
pick that, but yeah.
The Seahawks beat the Cowboys 38-31. The Packers beat the Saints 37-30. And the Tuesday game was the Chiefs beating the Ravens 34-20. That first Friday game. I guess how well he sort of played. The first thing I thought was goddamn Fitzmagic. I hate the term, but that was the first thing I thought. Because he got 80 to, like, he was accurate. He didn't get a lot of yards, but man, he was accurate.
80-20, and he said his only two completions came in the first half. For the rest of the second half, he was perfect. But yeah, I guess the story of that was like. A real big dose of Myles Gaskin, who pretty much straight after that game, if you have a look at any of the trendings on any fantasy football league, he would have been right at the top of the trending ups after that. And honestly, like 22 rushes for 66 yards. I don't know why everyone was clamoring for him. But I was certainly in the boat to try and get in.
We all need a running backs. There's 1,000 running backs out at the moment. He went for a pretty penny in some of the leagues that I went. I mean, some of the money went for him was ridiculous. I mean, $50 out of a possible 100.
That's crazy. Why? But, desperate.
When running backs are on play, then I suppose you have to take them. But on the other side, you know, the Dolphins did beat the Jaguars. You know, talking about running backs that, I guess, benefiting from, Leonard Fournette or the culling from Jaguars, James Robinson.
He's looking well. It's mean when you then this is what this honestly this is what Leonard Fournette could be looking like. But you know, it's a different part of Florida. It's Jacksonville versus Tampa. Tampa are essentially, I think they still would be a Super Bowl or bust type team the moment they picked up Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Jacksonville couldn't find anyone to take Leonard Fournette. It was insane.
Yeah, I agree. That was absolutely
sense.
Going on that, I think it was this game actually. A bit later. Yeah, he had a pretty good game this week for Tampa Bay. With the Jaguars, obviously Minshew Mania, that's sort of quieting down. He got 275 yards, but an interception and only 30 out of 42 attempts. So
He had an interception and a fumble. He had two turnovers. He had a fumble as well, so he sort of hands let him down a little bit. Jacksonville, I guess they sort of looked a little inept in this game, especially against a team like Miami. But, you know, Miami has spent a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, to keep Minshew in check, who to say he's been, you know, relatively hot the first 2 weeks, and to sort of cool him off a little bit. All the damage was done in the first half by Miami. Yeah,
correct.
The damage was done in the first half. It was 21-7 at the half, and Miami's first two possessions were touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, you know, once they started to get rolling, they're getting Gaskin in. Gesicki again was pretty good for Miami.
Devontae Parker was fairly good too.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, and Fitzpatrick done enough, and they were just running. They were going with the run game that seemed to be working for them. They were getting the first downs that they needed, so that they pretty much just grinded Jacksonville out of the game.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought as well. I think it was just, like you said, once they sort of got that first quarter roll on, they sort of didn't really let up. Jackson sort of kept themselves slightly in the game, but they just really didn't do enough, I guess, to sort of win that game. The next one absolutely shocked me. That not so much that, well, I guess it is, I guess, the evidence this is the Bears and Falcons. The fourth quarter collapse again.
I think both ways, like to see Chicago sort of playing that's what as well as what me. They are. Yes. But, you know, the story in this was essentially Trubisky throws – he threw one interception in that first half.
Yep.
Bang. Gone. Benched.
Yep. Well
– watch of the highlights and that, and that was essentially what – that has been said on the broadcast. Trubisky benched. Foles comes in, and it just
he throws an interception as well, but he also
that's right. But he just looked like he was moving the team around a little bit better in that game. And Trubisky hasn't looked awful to start this season off.
No.
I think he's been average. He hasn't been terrible.
They're 3-0.
Whether or not it was just a horses for courses type thing, like they just seen that, you know, that Trubisky might have been struggling a little bit, so they just got let's get Foles in there, let's try and change things up a little bit, and you know the Chicago end up what's the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Once again, Atlanta just cannot hang on to a lead.
No, they can't. I mean, I really couldn't work out what sort of happened with them. I don't know why they couldn't hold on to that lead at all. The only time
Super Bowl MVP. That's why. Like that's a
well, good point. But the one guy I've left on my fantasy side. Speaking of fantasy, the first couple of rounds, and I thought, third round, screw him, Allen Robinson, I'm putting him on the bench. So the one time I put him on the bench, and he gets 123 goddamn yards and a touchdown.
And a TD, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he looked pretty good.
He looked comfortable with Foles.
That's right. I think that was I think that was, it's just a little bit sort of funky the way that thing sort of went. Foles wasn't brilliant by any stretch of the imagination have a look at him statistically. But I think the glaring thing that sticks out is the three touchdowns and one interception. And out of 16 completed passes, 188 yards. And Matt Ryan was just – he doesn't generally have a lot of sort of terrible games in him, but he was god-awful in this game.
Yeah, and for two, you know – if we're comparing him to Foles, you know, 19 for 38 to 238, it wasn't a Matt Ryan game. So he wasn't terrible, but it's Matt Ryan.
That's as bad as a Matt Ryan game as you can have, I think. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be too much, too much worse than that. But they're trying to rely on Matt Ryan to do a lot of things for him, but they sort of had to turn to the run game a little bit, which sort of worked to some effect, but
They've only got Todd Gurley, so you think it should at least sort of work a little bit, but
no, that's all right. You've still got Brian Hill there as well, who they sort of brought in a little bit. He then got 9 carries, 58 yards. But just a little funny thing that sort of popped up on the broadcast as well was it might have been just in the half times of the 4 p.m. Slate of games over there in the States. Atlanta's the only team in the last 20 years to blow 2 15-plus fourth quarter leads in a season, and they did it in consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
Teams in the last 20 years haven't done that all season, and they do it in consecutive weeks.
And they've done it in consecutive
weeks. Oh, my Lord.
So what does that mean then for Mr. Dan Quinn? We talked about it last week, but after this capitulation, like, what does that mean for him?
I think the pressure's got to be on him, but I don't think he's going to be the first casualty. I think the first casualty is going to come out of New York, and I'm pretty sure we mentioned it last week that going off what I've heard, Jets, that the New York Jets have never sacked a season, but I think this year is going to be the first time, because they have we just talk about that game for just real quick, like the Colts and the Jets. The Colts defense outscored the Jets 16-7.
Yeah,
like it just Sam Darnold looks rotten.
Yeah.
That, you know, they've got no Le'Veon Bell. That, you know, Jameson Crowder's not there. I think Jameson Crowder's going to be back next week. They've got no receiving core there.
Why they let Robbie Anderson go is beyond me.
It's unbelievable.
Like, Robbie Anderson's having a decent season with the Panthers. I think he's WR5 at the moment in the league. So they stink. I mean,
they're putrid.
Their leading rusher is a 37-year-old guy that they picked up on the free agency. And that's not against Frank Gore, but it's pitiful. Philip Rivers made him look worse and a lot worse, I guess, is probably what I'm trying to say. Or probably the other way. Sam Darnold made the Colts look better than they actually are at the moment. It's probably the better way to put that.
No, that's right. Just, Frank Gore only got 57 yards on 15 carries, so you're not really sort of relying on him
a
whole lot. So it was just a real sort of fun. It's just one of those games where you just got to sit back and I guess shake your head again at the New York Jets, and people who are actual Jets fans must just be just mortified the way that they are at the moment, that Gase is supposedly this, offensive genius. And I guess we're probably talking about him a little bit too much at the moment, but he's supposed to be some sort of offensive genius. And it just, the 2 years that he's been there, he's been just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you said, apparently they don't fire anyone until the end of the season, not mid-season. So we'll wait and see what happens to that. What did you think again now? Speaking of teams that are 0-3, I didn't think after three rounds the Vikings would be 0-3, but they went down to the 3-0 Tennessee Titans. That was a nail biter right at the end. But
right. Yeah, that was another Gostkowski masterclass. I think it's what did he have? He had six field goals. A 55 yarder. Yeah, with inside the 2 minute warning to get the W. Like that was a sort of back and forth game. Yeah. Tannehill looked pretty good, and Dalvin Cook was just cooking.
So was Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson was great too. So, I mean, everything in that game if you haven't sort of watched any of the highlights, I watched the highlights on it. Even just watching those, you honestly would think that this was going to be a Minnesota win.
Yeah, I thought so. It looked like it. I mean, the way the Titans, Derrick Henry got 119 yards of 26 carries, so he did pretty well with the 2 touchdowns. He did pretty well as well. But the way the Vikings were playing, like, Kirk Cousins wasn't playing terrible. He did throw 2 interceptions, but he also didn't play terrible enough to at least lose that game.
No, I think they relied on the run game in that, and they knew that that looked like was going to be their best chance to win. And yeah, it's sort of.
I think it was Gostkowski. I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Like he's, you know, 6-6. It was
You watch some of Tennessee. You watch some of Tennessee's drives and the way that they sort of get down the field nice and easy, and then all of a sudden that, you know, they get to around that 30-odd yard mark, you know, close to the end zone, and all of a sudden the drive stalls.
And that's
all they can do. Like they're getting their field goal kicker inside range, and you take the 3 points when they're there. But they were. Yeah, there was, you know, many opportunities for them to take them, and that was the way that it happened.
The drawn game, the 23-all to our Bengals and Eagles. What did you think? It was sort of, it wasn't the greatest game to watch at all. Carson Wentz, you know, speaking of, I guess, putrid, or using the word putrid, so as to say, he's... Oh man, I just don't know what to think of him. I don't know. Like, you know, it's two interceptions in three straight games. That was his third straight game he threw two interceptions. So
it must just still be him trying to play hero ball. It's got to be, like, he's thrown 47 times. It just sort of looks and you hear analysis from, you know, the so-called experts around that he's just trying to make the big play just so often. But, you know, his average attempt, you know, his average completion yardage is not even 5 yards.
Yeah.
So, and that's that, you know, even Drew Brees is doing better than that, and he's 40.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? That's just little dink and dunk checkdowns and things like that. It's just there's no real big plays in him at the moment.
Miles Sanders sort of starting coming into, I guess, form that everybody expected him at the start, you know, getting 95 yards out of 18 carries. You know, he was touted as one of their big, I guess, their big sort of offensive players this year. Their biggest problem, and I mean, it's pretty glaringly obvious when you look at the receiving, but their biggest problem is their receivers.
Is the receivers, really, right. Alshon Jeffrey's not there. You know, they've gotten rid of Nelson Agholor.
DeSean Jackson's playing, you know, he's playing terrible, he's a bit older too. They don't really have a great receiving core at all.
No, well, that's, I mean, they're not even using DeSean Jackson. He only had 4 targets. Yeah. So you know, everything is everything. They lost, they lost Dallas Goedert throughout this game as well. So they had to go back to good old trusty Zach Ertz. So, Greg Ward did well in that one as well. But that's Carson Wentz's, you know, sort of safety net is Zach Ertz, and it always will be. So, but going forward, now that Dallas Goedert's hurt, then it will be on Zach Ertz. On Zach Ertz. But I've got a funny feeling too that it's either this week or next week that Alshon Jeffrey will be back. So at least he'll have something, you know, in the ray of a wide receiver to sort of throw to.
When you put your fist up, so I wanted to talk about this game anyway, but the Lions beating the Cardinals 26-23. For me, it was on the back of Kyler Murray's 3 interceptions. That's what really.
Yeah, he looked. I don't know. He just looked a little out of sorts. Yeah. I think it's, you know, maybe a little bit of second year syndrome. Maybe they were looking like that. Yeah, they got off to a super hot start. I wanted to pay a little bit of attention to this game, probably not so much for the Lions, but just purely for, once again, fantasy reasons. But
DeAndre Hopkins, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it just, you know, you watch Murray as he gets out of the pocket, and you see him just absolutely burn Jeff Okuna for a touchdown, for a rushing touchdown. But later on in the game, you know, Okuna gets a little bit of revenge and gets an interception for him. So, yeah. From him. So I guess a little bit of back and forth by, you know, the second year a guy and the rookie defensive man there for
Detroit. That was a good pickup for them. But that was Okuna. That was the smartest pickup for them, that they needed that. Yeah. It was good. It was a good pickup. They didn't, you know, Stafford didn't play that bad at all. 22 of 31 attempts, no interceptions, and a couple of touchdowns.
No, but once again, they've sort of gone to the run game and they're sort of relying heavily on Adrian Peterson at the moment. So, No, well, and that's it. Like, but the thing, it was stuck at 23 all for a long time. Like, you know, more than 6 minutes of that final fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was 23 all for a long time. And it's sort of, that both teams sort of looked like they were a little bit nervous. They didn't sort of want to go for the big play and didn't want to win it, but they didn't want to lose that game.
Yeah.
So, and then, Matt Stafford sort of ended up coming through and Matt Prater gets the field goal at the end, pretty much as time expired. So, they held on, they held on to the ball essentially for the final nearly 5 minutes of it, 10 play, 70 yard drive, for the Lions. So it's, the couple of fourth quarter field goals there sort of got Detroit over the line, and that's an 11 game losing streak out the window now for Detroit.
And they did well enough to win that game. I guess probably put Arizona back in check and just realized that
there's no givens. Like Detroit out of sort of the 0-2 teams probably haven't been that bad. Like there's a hell of a lot worse 0-2 teams out there than what the Lions are. So, and for it to happen in Arizona as well, I think that's just one of those games where that could come back to haunt them at the end of the season if they have playoff aspirations to go down to the Lions like that. Yeah. I think that we'll have to sort of put a little asterisk on that one. And if they don't make it by a win, then this could be the win that they needed to slip themselves in, maybe into a wild card spot,
especially in that division.
Like wins are going to be at a premium because you'll need to get the W's in that division.
We'll talk about the other two. I wanted to talk about was both our teams. I mean, we'll talk about look, the Seahawks beat the Cowboys, but I mean that was Russell Wilson's 5 touchdowns and 315 yards. Like just The man wants that MVP, and he's going to do nothing to – no one's going to get in his way, I should say, to stop him. He's finding Metcalf and Lockett just pinpoint. It's not even on a dime. He's just – they just have to pretty much stand there. It's not like they have to do a lot of work. He is absolutely pinpoint. I mean, again, the reason he was so pinpoint because, again, for the Cowboys, they gave – the Seahawks offense 18 minutes for the quarterback to throw the ball.
That's right. Defensively, again, the Cowboys have struggled.
Yeah, again, I don't know what's going on. They're missing a couple of key defensive players, but they're just giving them too much time. And out of all the quarterbacks, there's a few, but you're not going to give Russell Wilson time to throw the ball because he can either throw the ball very well, or two, he can rush pretty decently. So
no, that's right. And look, the two interceptions too by Dak Prescott, which doesn't help. You're on the road. You're in a tight game, even though they were down 30-15 at one point. Dallas sort of fights back there a little bit, and a sort of. As you watch the final, the final quarter in that game, and instead of 31 all, and instead of just sort of getting enough yards for Seattle, getting enough yards to just slot the field goal over, that is just like no, we're just going to go for a touchdown. DK Metcalf catches the pass. And they get the 2-point conversion.
And that pass was just so. That's again. He had so much time, Russell Wilson, and that pass was just absolutely just. It just literally. He didn't have to put his arms up. It just basically fell into his lap, so to speak. That touchdown. It was. Oh man, it was amazing. Dak Prescott. Man, he's got to stop. I know. They rave about him getting 400 plus yards all the time, which is okay. Well and good, but. He also threw 57 times for only 37 completions. So
They had to do something when you're chasing the game. But the other thing is too, Ezekiel Elliott was very, very underwhelming.
Yeah, he was.
You know, only 34 yards off 14 carries. Like they couldn't really sort of get him going even in the pass game. You know, six catches for 24 yards. So it was on. It was all going to be on Dak Prescott's arm. And I guess sort of the hero a little bit from last week in Zuerlein. Missed two PATs as well, one doinked off the upright and another one was tipped as it sort of went over the defensive line. So to say that they're big things, but the game is a little bit different if you got those extra 2 points on the board.
Yeah, well, they would have been, I think at the time with one of them, they would have been tied. So you're right. It's just that mindset sort of difference, really.
And if you have a look at this game as well, DK Metcalf could have had another touchdown if he wasn't so nonchalant and sort of and pulling up before the goal line and gets the ball knocked out from behind him. Like, Pete Carroll would have ripped him a new one when he got into the locker room. Do you know what I mean? You can't, when are they going to learn? Yeah. Just get into the end zone and then celebrate.
And do whatever you want. Like,
whatever you want there. Get in there. Do a DX chop. Like, do all the stupid crap that you want to do. But do it when you're in the end zone, not when you're 5 yards out.
That was great. That was Trayvon Diggs that knocked that ball out too. Yeah. So great for a rookie to sort of, I guess, hang in there, really.
Well, just that's right. He's just competing. He's showing you a little bit of competitive nature there. I think the other thing to sort of come out of that game as well was the supposed gator roll tackle. I'm not quite sure who the Dallas defender was on Chris Carson, and Pete Carroll was plenty pissed.
Blowing up,
in the post game presser about it. He was very, very upset about this gator roll type tackle where they tackled down and he's grabbed onto the legs and essentially done a rollover and sort of twisted Carson's leg, which has sort of got him into a little bit of trouble where he may not be playing this week. I think he's questionable for this week. I don't think that.
Defensive tackle Tristan Hill. So
we're not watching every minute of every game. So I'm not 100% sure if that tackle is sort of a bit of a plague on there. Just watching that, it didn't look very good, and it kind of looked a little deliberate. As much as you don't want to say, and as much as you don't want to hope and think that players are going out there to hurt other players, but that's just an unnecessary thing to do at the end of a tackle.
Yeah. No, I agree. It was, and he got fined for it too. So, and it was unnecessary. The tackle was already made. He didn't really need to do it. The fine was weird. Where do they pull these amounts from? He got fined $6,522 exactly. What were they short $22 somewhere?
Some sort of percentage or something like that of their salary. God, like
maybe, but
minor offences like that, it'd be you get charged, you get hit, say 1.5% of your salary or something like that. Otherwise, those fine numbers just don't make any sense.
No, you're right. The next one, the last one I wanted to sort of talk about, was your boys. Well, the Packers obviously 3-0, but your boys. Excuse me, really, are they, I don't think it's completely evident, but Michael Thomas is glaringly, obviously missing, but is it glaringly obvious that him not being there is affecting them?
Well, something that I heard throughout the game, that Drew Brees hasn't won a game without Michael Thomas since 2016, since he was a rookie.
That's a huge step.
You said you want to talk about glaring stats. There's one for you right there.
That answers my question.
The Saints at the moment, like, especially in this game, like, they still scored 30 points.
Yeah.
The offense over these first 3 weeks hasn't really been the problem. It's been them defensively, it's been like that for a couple of years now, that they've just got, especially against a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, they've just got an inability to stop the big play. You can have your little dinks and dunks, with things like that. But yeah, Alan Lazard, like a 72, I think he had a 72 yard reception and a 48 yard reception. Like it's just the inability to be able to stop the big play when it comes to things like that. Like that the Saints have always had like a good front seven, and they can generally snuff out the run game. Like that's that's pretty evident. They haven't had a 100 yard rusher in over 40 games. So it's been like 3 years. So it's just
their secondary.
It's they've got good guys on the secondary.
Yeah, they do.
It happened last year as well. Like the secondary started off really ordinary, and they've got big raps on guys like PJ Williams and Marshawn Lattimore, and guys like that. The guys in the front seven, even Janoris Jenkins, but they got guys up front, linebackers like Demario Davis who are doing their jobs, Cam Jordan, those sort of guys that are up front defensively, they're doing their job. It's just they're just getting beat a lot in the secondary, and if it doesn't get fixed up shortly, then more and more pressure is going to be put on Drew Brees. It's just like, well, 30 points isn't enough. You need to score more.
Yeah,
and that's too much.
Even with
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's fair. It's sort of, again, it's sort of the thing that was happening with the Cowboys as well is their secondary is not the greatest. I mean, their rushing is not the greatest as well, but their secondary is not. I really think they don't realize how much, especially when you've got injuries, how much they're missing Byron Jones. I keep saying it because I keep thinking that's a huge problem they have. They're not looking for interceptions at all. All they're doing is just really just playing coverage, and that's sort of it.
I think there's still three teams in the league that don't have an interception. So I'm not sure if Dallas is one of them. I've got a funny feeling they might be, but there's a couple of sort of big plays in this game that sort of, as you watch it, and I did watch, this is one of the games that I did watch all of. It's pretty evident to me that obviously the MVP for the Saints at the moment is Alvin Kamara. Rushing, he hasn't done a whole lot. Yeah, he had six carries. 58 yards, only 10 yards a carry. He had a 49 yard rush. But his reception, his 52 yard reception for a touchdown, he beats like six people. Like, it was just insane that his elusiveness. He's a stocky sort of guy, but the elusiveness that he has, and the power that he has as well. Like he could be a good, sort of upfront thumper like they've got like in Latavius Murray and like they previously had with Mark Ingram. But that 52 yard touchdown by Kamara was just amazing. he scorches like six people. It was unbelievable. And you think, right, they're going to ride on the back of this, and this could be the momentum that they need to sort of to keep going. And then in the fourth quarter there was a huge momentum change. Taysom Hill has a crucial fumble, and Green Bay recovers it and pretty much scores a touchdown, and that's pretty much shuts New Orleans out of the game. It puts them up 10. New Orleans tried to sort of come back, but all they could do was come back with a field goal. Towards the end, Will Lutz tried himself a Greg Zuerlein-esque spinning spinning torpedo of an onside kick, and it didn't work.
No, it didn't work at all, really. I guess the good thing for them, and it's probably like the Cowboys, is they're not playing terribly, so a lot of it's fixable. For them, so
a lot of
like I just said, it's probably their secondary, and they're probably both the same, in the same boat. They're both leaking too many points, and then they're both, quarterbacks are finding it hard just to get back. They don't have to keep throwing all these amount of yards to sort of try to win the game.
The problem is Drew Brees is just not going to be able to throw it 57 times. That's your difference. Problem. Yeah. Yeah, at least at least, you know, at least with Prescott, he's a little bit younger. Like, if you're asking Breeze to get upwards of even 50 throws, like, you'd hope that he wouldn't do that too many times at all this year. But that's not going to be your recipe for success. If you're the Saints. So I don't think there's too much sort of to worry about. Apparently, over the next 13 games, they've got the second easiest schedule in the run home. So, look, that'll help. Michael Thomas will still be questionable for next week. So they've just got to wait and see. You know, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to try and rush him back. Like, he is he's an integral part of what New Orleans does offensively. So, like you said, I think secondary woes can be corrected. You know, just to get a little bit of confidence. But the thing is, like, they didn't, the Green Bay didn't even have their number one receiver there in Davante Adams. So, like, that's scary that they sort of let, a bunch of number twos do what they did.
Yeah, that's right. They were the main games I sort of wanted to touch on. Was anything else that you wanted to touch on with games?
Look, I thought another one that was worth sort of visiting was the Buffalo Rams game. An early kickoff for the LA Rams. Watching bits and pieces of this game, it just looked like LA they were still asleep, or they were still on the plane, or they were still on the team bus. I don't know what was happening with that. But as soon as the second half come around, then it was time to cook. Yep. And I think they ended up being down like 20. I think it was 28-3.
Yeah.
You know, going early into the third quarter, it was just, and you think, okay, right, once it's 28-3, whether or not sort of Buffalo took the foot off the pedal a little bit and go, right, not so much a la what, that exact same score was the scoreline that Atlanta was up over New England in the Super Bowl. So, whether or not they sort of took the foot off the pedal a little bit, but Jared Goff had started to get rolling a little bit. Henderson did really well on the run game. Cooper Kupp is big for LA. And they fought, LA fought all the way back to actually sort of take the lead.
Yeah.
And then, a bit of a rough pass interference call on the LA Rams. Cry me a river. LA Rams, give me a break. Not so much a meaningless, but this is in a regular season game. Like, wait until you get a blatant missed pass interference call that's in an NFC Championship game, and you go to a Super Bowl that you don't deserve to. Once again, hashtag not salty. They had a bit of a boohoo about it. And it's just like, that's the game. So, I've got, unfortunately, once again, not salty, but I've got no sympathy for him at all. Sorry.
Cannot help yourself.
No, I can't.
They're up.
They want to come out and complain and whinge about it.
Yeah, I get
that. Do you know what I mean? Nobody's going to forget that.
No, they're not. No.
Do you know what I mean? Like the audacity to come out and go, oh, geez, we've got a rough pass interference call there. Yeah, okay. Get to a Super Bowl and crap all over yourselves and have one of the worst Super Bowl performances you've ever seen. I don't know what karma is, but I think that's what it looks like.
No, you're definitely not salty.
Oh, no, not salty at all.
Oh, my God. I think the Bills, Josh Allen's playing great. I think they're a little bit lucky that they're 3-0 at the moment.
Lucky. Like, they got away with one there. Allen is looking that's a performance that you can sort of grade him on rather than the two early performances against woeful divisional opponents for Josh Allen. But yeah, he didn't look too bad throughout this game. So he's going from strength to strength. Like, I think he's, for the season, he's completing over 71%.
Yeah.
So he's looking better. He had the one interception. Okay, fair enough. But again, he loses a fumble. It's just, he's got to get that out of his game.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. It's his third straight 300 pass yards, 300 passing yards game, which is great. But yeah, he's a tendency a little bit of fumble, and also, you know, yeah, tends to get intercepted a lot. So
he's starting to cut down on his interceptions. Like just listening to our podcasts and radio shows, I think over his last 14 games, he's thrown 33 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So, you know, that's crazy compared to, you know, his first sort of year and a half or whatever, you know, in the league to be that sort of, you know, touchdown to interception ratio is insane. And, you know, this year he's completing over 71% of his passes. So Stephon Diggs, like, you know, what do you say? Like, he's got a great guy to be able to throw to, even though he only caught 4 passes. I think Cole Beasley had 6 catches for 100 yards. That slot receiver type. But look, you know, Buffalo is charging along really well and you know, taking control of the AFC East.
I guess another team before we sort of talk about some other news that are traveling on really well is the Steelers. You know, they did beat the 0-3.
I think we should talk about the Steelers and Houston. Like, you know, two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. Their defense is, it was great last year. It's what got them there.
It's what held them together last year, Pittsburgh. Absolutely.
They got 6 sacks in that game. They have a great defensive unit. They have a great secondary. Minka Fitzpatrick was just that pickup that they got from Miami was just a masterstroke. That was Ben's playing, you know, okay. He's not throwing interceptions. All the people that you want to sort of start doing well are doing well. Connor's doing well. Juju looks like he's coming back to form, and you know they picked up Eric Ebron as well. So
right, that's a super pickup as well, Eric Ebron.
Yeah, from New York. Sorry. So,
Eric Ebron come from he came from Indianapolis.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I thought it was New York Giants. No, it was in.
No, that's Evan Ingram.
That's right, Evan Ingram. Yeah.
I like the way Big Ben's come back from injury. I think he's looked really good. Like he's for the season he's thrown 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. 777 total throwing yards for him over 3 games, and he's completing 67%. Like he's looking as good as ever. Doesn't look like the elbow's bothering him at all. No. So that's a good thing.
No, and he looks, and that's probably what I think he mentioned this that he did in the off season. He looks fitter. I mean, he's a big guy in itself anyway, but he feels fitter and he looks fitter. So
I think a lot of people sort of giving him a little bit of crap about, you know, what he, you know, the stature that he comes out like. Yeah. But he looks good. You know, they sort of had a really good healthy dose of the run game as well with that game. So you don't need to do he's not asked to do too much. Like they had a lot of possession in that game as well. And it was like we said, two ends of the spectrum. Like, you know, Pittsburgh were really good in the rush. And Houston were just—they were awful. Deshaun Watson only having one carry, like, and that's the most dangerous part of his game. Like, okay, yeah, he's still an accurate quarterback, but for him to only have one attempt, that's not good. Not good.
And then they picked up David Johnson, who looked like he was sort of coming back to that Arizona form, but no, 23 yards for 13 carries. It's not good.
And like you said, that's the Pittsburgh defensively.
Yeah, like that's right.
Them squashing them out of the game. So David Johnson hasn't looked terrible this, you know, since being like his first game, you know, against the Chiefs in week 1, he looked great. This is more on Watson sort of getting a little bit going and just having guys that he can trust and rely on in their receiving core.
Well, that was it for the games for me at least.
If you wanted to go on about, you know, the offensive masterclass that Patrick Mahomes proceeded to put on Monday night, I thought sort of was worth talking about as well. They really stomped out Baltimore. in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That was a clinic, an absolute clinic.
And that was sort of, for me, it looked like that was a game that I guess Lamar Jackson isn't, he's still not ready to, I guess, beat the big guys, you know, beat someone like the Chiefs or those sort of high pressure games. He just got outplayed, Lamar Jackson. He didn't really have a throwing game. You know, he had that sort of run, but not, yeah, he just didn't do very, very well at all.
Well, he had 83 rushing yards, but he only had 90 odd throwing yards, and that's not good.
No one, there wasn't many people that got the ball in that, you know, for someone that he's been using Andrews a lot, Mark Andrews, and I think he only got 22 yards and three receptions. So I just don't think he's still ready for that sort of big game. But you're right. I mean, Mahomes, zero interceptions, four touchdowns, at 385. You know, his rating was nearly 100. He was, I guess, just what Patrick Mahomes justifies paying $50 million a year for.
No, well, so, that's right. And I think, Mark Andrews is the safety net, tight end for Lamar Jackson. But you sort of, if you go through what Baltimore did receiving wise, J.K. Dobbins was efficient, four targets, four receptions. But, Mark Andrews had eight targets, only three receptions. Yeah. Hollywood Brown, six targets, only two receptions. So, some of those are on the wide receivers to be able to catch the ball, and some of it is on Lamar Jackson. He's just not afforded the amount of time that he needed in the pocket to be able to make those throws and to be accurate. So that was the disappointing thing about that game. It was built up to be an absolute blockbuster, and the Chiefs just waltz into Baltimore and just absolutely railroad them.
Yeah, they did. Look, Kelce sort of came back to a bit of form in that too. Six catches for 87 yards. Didn't get a touchdown, but Mahomes did what just Mahomes started to do last year. They're three. You know, we've talked about all these other 3-0 teams and how well they're playing. I guess it's probably just expected because they are Super Bowl champs. But yeah, Kansas are just chipping away, doing what they need to do to win.
And throughout this game as well, Mahomes had 385 yards. Becomes the fastest quarterback to 10,000 passing yards. And once I heard that come across the Monday Night Broadcast, I'm just like, oh, of course he is. Of course he is.
Yeah. You suppose you don't think about it. He only got 50 touchdowns last year, so kind of makes sense.
Unbelievable. Well, the other thing that happened in this game, just real quick sort of before we move on, was the first time that we had a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, which is pretty rare. I love seeing it.
Well, they've just taken it so far out of the game at the moment, kick returns and punt returns and stuff like that. But it was good to see that sort of happened. It was very refreshing to see. But Baltimore goes into halftime and that's pretty much they had a field goal and that was their only sort of touchdown. So, Yeah, 20 points for them scored is just it's not enough, unfortunately, and especially when you're playing against Kansas City, you've got to be stacking up the points, or you've got to be chasing around Patrick Mahomes. And even if you do chase around Patrick Mahomes, like, he escapes the pocket so easily, can still make an accurate throw on the run, throwing across his body, throwing away from his body, like, he's just. You hear the analogy all the time. It's like playing Madden.
Yeah, it is.
It's a video game. The stats that he's putting up, the throws that he makes, they're incredible.
Oh, it is like a video game. I just played against him last night in Madden 21, and I got the new Madden 21 a couple of days ago. It's unfair. It's like what Michael Vick was. It's absolutely unfair.
Oh, it is right.
But although they might not play, just moving on to what's sort of going on in the league in the last sort of few days and week, they might not play possibly this week four as well, because there's been a few COVID outbreaks.
The Rona has hit.
Starting with the Titans. The Titans, where it sort of all started from. I think the defensive back, Greg Maben, tested positive September 24th. That sort of started. And then it sort of filtered through to, well, I guess that a lot of other Titans players, outside linebacker, the coach was tested positive. I think
Was it the defensive coordinator, wasn't it?
Shane Brown, their outside linebacker coach.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, linebackers coach. Yep.
He got, and then eight more from the Titans came out and got tested positive. So
right. So they just they just completely shut the facility down. Yeah, that's it. Done and dusted. We're gonna go and get a hell of a lot more COVID testing done.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess we've got that. And it's a lot of Titans. There's no Steelers, which is interesting, but a lot of Titans players. There's about 10 to 12 players and coaches.
Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota was affected as much by this. I think they just had to go out there and get tested. So this week upcoming, the teams that were going to be affected by this was Tennessee was meant to play Pittsburgh. That now has been rescheduled for week 7. I haven't heard a lot about what's happening with Minnesota and Houston at the moment. As far as I know, that game is still going ahead. Minnesota's got the all clear. And then they've had to sort of shunt on a little bit. Pittsburgh versus Baltimore, that was meant to be played in week 7, is now to be played in week 8. So that's just sort of a little bit of a shuffle that they've had at the moment. But, you know, in recent news, we've also fairly recent news over this weekend, as we're doing this a little bit later on in the calendar week, that Cam Newton has come out and tested positive. Now everybody's scrambling.
The Chiefs at the moment. So the Chiefs at the moment, they're not having to get tested yet. So I mean, that's who they're playing this week. But yeah, there's a lot of players in New England everybody's sort of getting tested at the moment. As of recording now, Cam Newton's the only one that's tested positive. And will miss week 4. That's confirmed. So at the moment, that game
that was meant to be the marquee, Sunday night football game on NBC.
It's moved to like Monday, possibly Tuesday. But it hasn't actually moved.
The game altogether. They're still hoping to get that game in this round. It's just not going to be. Their marquee matchup for Sunday night, so which is Monday, sort of Monday morning our time. So I'm not 100% sure what game is going to be put on for NBC. I haven't probably should have had a look at that before we come on here. So
if we're going in,
hurry up because games gonna be on soon.
At the moment, there is no confirmed game. At the moment, really, there is no confirmed game. You're talking about Thursday night, Friday morning game. Is that what you're talking about? No, sorry, you're talking about the marquee
Sunday night one. Game. That's their marquee. That's NBC sort of marquee. Sort of game. So it's I'm just sort of having a little bit of a sniff around the internet here and what's been said. If there is anybody or if there is anything that's been put up about the changing of the game, and there's not really anything that's sort of jumping out of the screen right now, so that's whether or not that's been 100% confirmed. But like I said they'll have to start doing it soon because
there's only two choices then, isn't there, because the Sunday that would have been in our time, that would have been the 6:05 game. Or the 6:20 around that sort of time, or was that one of those 3 a.m. games?
I've just found it here. It looks like they are moving the Philadelphia and San Francisco 49ers game to NBC. So that'll be a kickoff at 10:20 our time. So that's the game that they've moved down because that's at San Francisco. So that was most likely going to be a later kickoff. in the afternoon slate of games anyway. So that's, I guess that was probably the easiest one to sort of shunt down, which, you know, that's not that great a game.
No, well, that'd be the fourth straight game, that fourth straight game the 49ers have faced a winless side. So
that's not that good. I don't know what NBC sort of thinking there. Like, well, wouldn't you, like, to me, out of just those couple of later games, I would have rather had the Raiders and the Bills.
Bills deserve to be on prime time at the moment. They are playing well.
To San Francisco and Philadelphia, that could be anything, that game. Like, I don't think Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth's going to be very happy calling that. But anyway.
No, that's right. Look, if another team brings out this COVID test, this could go a lot. This could go pear-shaped really quick. That's the unfortunate truth.
Well, that's it. They're still traveling, so it's...
That's the unfortunate truth.
Well, and that's why the NFL is coming down hard on these sideline people. Do you know what I mean? For not wearing their mask. You know, how stupid do they look when they've got their little silly balaclava, you know, little sort of, you know,
the outlaw, sneeze card thing.
Little outlaw ranger things from the old West. They may as well just have a handkerchief over their,
Andy Reid.
But they don't cover their nose.
Andy Reid's got the biggest head in the world. Yeah, that's a terrible look.
There's a few of them that have gone the clear Pfizer. It just looks really, really, really weird.
We'll finish up with our studs and duds of the week. Did you have a stud of the week there?
We could all get, you know, in awe and swoon and fawn over Patrick Mahomes and what he did to Baltimore. But for me, my stud of the week was Dalvin Cook. You know, okay, it was in a losing effort, but that's the type of game that you're not going to get that from him every week. But they're the types of games that they need out of him if it doesn't look like Kirk Cousins can get going, and they need to sort of rely on him to get the running game happening. You know, 22 carries for 181 yards. Like, I think his longest run was 39 yards, had a touchdown, had a couple of catches as well. Probably needs to be utilized a little bit more in the pass game. The sort of the comparisons to him and Alvin Kamara, you know, fairly close. So I think they need to. Kamara's probably at this point of his career at the moment is more of a receiving threat than anything. So
that's fair. But my God, he's devastating still when he runs. So
They're trying to. I guess they're trying to protect him a little bit too. Like, they're not really giving him. Yeah, they're giving the bulk of the real heavy carries to Latavius Murray, and you know they're trying to free up seams and gaps for Kamara to get through, so he can sort of make those big explosive plays instead of just trying to thump it up the middle. So, I thought Dalvin Cook, you know, especially watching the extended highlights of that game, he did everything he could to get Minnesota over the line. It was just unfortunate that that Tennessee just pipped him at the end.
Mine went to Mr. Old Man Rivers, Philip Rivers, because he became the sixth quarterback in history to throw 400 plus touchdowns. So, you know, he's fairly accurate. He had 17 and 21 and 217 yards, but he's the sixth quarterback in history to throw over 400 touchdowns. So I thought that deserved a bit of a shout out.
Absolutely.
He was one of those guys, like, especially with that whole Eli Manning thing with the Chargers and all that. I guess it's
2004. Did we say we were talking about this before? Was it 2004?
It was. He's a guy that doesn't get mentioned probably not enough. I guess great things. Because he hasn't sort of really been in the playoffs and Super Bowls, so that's probably why. But he's a very accurate passer. Very, very accurate passer. He doesn't do it much
I don't think Father Time has helped him as much sort of later in his career. I think he's been a bit of a turnover machine. Especially in his last I sort of had it there last week, where he'd sort of, I think out of his last 17 games or whatever it is, or 18 games, he's thrown, like, he's had 26 turnovers and 22 of them are interceptions. So But look, you know, good on him. He's still there. Unfortunately, yeah, like I also said last week, he's probably going to have to play another 4 years so he can get the rest of his 17 kids through college and not have to really, you know, have to worry about himself and his wife. But yeah, in saying that, you know, it's terrific, but it was against the Jets.
It was against the Jets. I understand that. Like,
you can only play who's in front of you.
That's right. And he's, you know, he's still got 400 touchdowns. Like, he's played against a lot, you know, a lot of really good sides in that. So yeah, he deserves a shout out. He doesn't get much.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think that in his time at San Diego, I don't think he'd ever made a Super Bowl. I think he'd only maybe even made, like, I think it's only been two AFC Championship games.
Yeah.
So, you know, for somebody who's had the longevity is what he's had. And essentially, when San Diego picked him up, San Diego still had Drew Brees, and a very young Drew Brees. And he was coming off shoulder surgery. So I guess they'd sort of drafted him. They sat him behind Brees for a little bit. Actually, no, I think they sat him behind Brees for I think it might have been 1 year. And then Brees got hurt with the shoulder. Brees was coming up on a contract year. And I'm pretty sure it was the Miami Dolphins. And I've got a funny feeling it might have been Nick Saban who might have been the coach of the Dolphins then. I'm going to have to double check that. But they decided to go against taking a Drew Brees, taking him to the Dolphins. And they were a little bit concerned about the shoulder. And the Saints ended up swooping in. And I guess the rest is sort of history there with New Orleans.
We'll have a look while you're having a look. My dud of the week goes, we've sort of talked about it a little bit briefly during this whole thing, to the entire New York Borough teams, the New York Jets and the New York Giants.
The five boroughs teams, good Lord.
The five boroughs teams. So in three games combined, mind you, they're both terrible. In three games combined, all they've scored is 85 points combined. Total. Yeah,
two teams, not one team, two teams.
85 points.
The Giants, they could do was muster up three field goals against San Francisco, who had their first quarterback, first choice quarterback gone, second choice quarterback gone, first choice wide receiver gone, their first and second choice running backs gone. They had nobody left on the defensive line in the secondary. How did they only score 9 points? It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think they're both in the shootout, really, for Trevor Lawrence.
Well, they will be.
we said we will mention it every week, but I think it's a shootout. Like, if anybody, I mean, they're both terrible, but I think Daniel Jones, I think Daniel Jones is a little bit more terrible than compared to Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold has gotten worse. Sam Darnold wasn't too bad last year in a few of the wins that they had. But Daniel Jones, again, he's got a fumble. He's like Josh Allen. He's got a fumbling problem. Yeah. He just can't hang on to the ball.
He can't throw the ball either. So I don't know what's happened to the five boroughs. I can't wait till they play against each other, and that's like a something. So if they're both winless,
my God! Oh, please don't imagine that. No, surely that's not going to be on the schedule this year.
Imagine if I haven't had a look, but imagine if they play each other and that's a Thursday night, a Monday night game.
Awesome. ESPN wouldn't be that stupid to put that.
And they both play each other at the same time, and it's And they're both winless. Just golden to look at.
It was Nick Saban that was there at Miami, and Drew Brees didn't pass his physical, and yeah, like I said, the rest is history.
No, you're right. They won't. There's no game this year that they'll play each other. So damn it. That's all right.
Just sort of flicking through the schedules, and I thank God for that. Thank you.
Did you have your dud of the week before we finish up?
Just spare us all. Look, my dud of the week Yeah, it's only his second year in the league, and I guess we could all sort of heap a whole bunch of crap on Daniel Jones as well, and he's sort of, you know, is being so inept at being quarterback. Dwayne Haskins, oof. In that for Washington against Cleveland, like, oh man, four turnovers, three interceptions and a fumble, like, just he actually had two fumbles, but he actually recovered one and got one back. Yeah. He just looks like he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah,
They've got Terry McLuhan there, who's sort of a good receiver for him to throw to. I think it's his second year as well. So I don't know. Just to me, he just looks a little bit lost at times.
He's the future there.
Like, he had that one terrific year at Ohio State. Like, I think he threw like 55 touchdowns at Ohio State, and that's what got him the big raps at the moment. But he just doesn't look like he's sort of comfortable enough and making that step up to the NFL level. So when do the Washington football team turn to Kyle Allen? Or I think they just need to turn it back over to Alex Smith.
I think they had to turn it back over to Alex Smith. I think, you know, he didn't have the much of the ball. It was 2018 was the last time he had the ball with them. But he was, you know, I was just looking back on the stats for him. His quarterback rating wasn't sort of too bad up until he got injured, of course. You know, 85. Well,
before that horrendous injury and all the crap that he had to go through after that, I think Washington, they're on top of the division.
Yep, and he was killing it before obviously Mr. Mahomes come in. He was killing it also for Kansas City Chiefs. He really was.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I think so.
Well,
I think,
mean, he's had a bit of a rough trot of it. Like, you know, even when he was in San Francisco, you know, he was the man in San Francisco. He got hurt. Kaepernick comes in, and they don't. He doesn't get a look back in. So you know, they had no other option to trade him away to Kansas City. He's a former number one pick.
Yeah, so just had a look at that. He was 2005 round one number one pick. So
yeah,
oof. There's some big terrible number one picks.
If you watch that project, is it Project 11? The doco that's on him, on Alex Smith, that was on ESPN. It sort of took you through the journey. That was if you haven't watched it.
I've heard about it.
You should, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I did. I'm fairly certain I heard about it.
Yeah, it is Project 11. It's, man, if you get an opportunity, it's just like one of those E60 things. It's crazy to see it, to all the stuff that he sort of went through.
Yeah.
You know, all stuff after surgeries and everything. It's one crazy sort of, doco. It's and for him to be back on the active roster and to be in the mix that he could quite possibly play this year is astounding.
Well, that was a pretty, oh man, I do remember that injury. That was a rough injury.
At the bottom half of his leg was just flapping around in the breeze. I do remember that injury. If you've got a weak stomach, then don't watch it, because that is the least of the gory stuff.
Yeah.
Like it delves into, he had flesh eating bacteria and that. Oh my Lord. It was just, it was crazy.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. Yeah. And he made that. Yeah. Well, I guess that'll do it for the NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, Twitter and Facebook. Give us a like, give us a share, do all the things you're supposed to do when you do it. Also, obviously on Gimco, gimco.com.au, and get your podcast everywhere. Ish.
Yeah, thanks, Dom, for the break last night too. NFL break last night, sort of jumped in that one. I ended up getting Denver, so I've got it. And as soon as I got that, I'm like, ooh, mama, that could be good. It was a lot of 2019 and 2020 products. So, you know, Drew Locke, and I've got a couple of Jerry Jeudy rookies, so that wasn't too bad. But I got a Kyle Hamler rookie as well, so I was pretty happy with that. But Yeah, that was super fun. I didn't watch that break live. I watched it last night at like 11 o'clock. So, but yeah, thanks again, Dom. That was great. He's given us a shout out on the at the start of the broadcast, the start of the break. So, you know, that's always muchly appreciated. So,
this break,
$70.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not too bad. Like they're always reasonably priced. They had like two sort of big products in there. They had Immaculate Collegiate. So, you know, it was mostly just sort of rookies and stuff that are all still in their collegiate uniforms. And they had Panini Black, which is even the commons in that. I think there's only 6 cards per box in that, but even the commons in that look amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a real fan of the collegiate stuff. I like to see their rookie cards in there, rookies, in their professional,
NFLs, yeah, for sure,
NFL, yeah, professional uniforms. But yeah, scored a couple of Jerry Jeudy rookies in there, so you know it wasn't all lost. Unlike I got the Raiders the week
last
before
time.
In the
week,
so I don't think I got anything in that. So to score something, so I was pretty happy. So yeah, thanks again, Dom.
Oh, my name's Jason. I might as well say Mojo King Smith because that's always the first name that comes.
Oh, he's going to come after you, man.
Why? I know it's not Mojo King.
Don't be stealing that boy's name. No, don't be doing it.
No, that's a compliment. It's more of a tribute.
Once the restrictions, COVID restrictions are let off in Melbourne, he is.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell him where you live.
Yeah, tell him where I live. He can come after me. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on.
Oh, all right. Thanks, everybody. Just don't be messing with the Mojo King, man.
I'm not messing with him. I like the guy. I don't even know the guy, but I like the guy.
Oh, but I like the guy. He's great.
No, sorry. No, I'll admit, I don't know the guy, but I love his name. I'm sorry. I love his name. Whoever thought of that name is a stroke of genius. See, it's a tribute. All the
no, that's true. Well, I guess yeah, like the Mojo Origins was like a sort of very early thing in the Gimco / sort of Eureka days. I guess we're sort of rambling on here at the back of the end
right.
The end of the pod, but like everybody would wish Mojo upon each other for you know to get good cards. So and just man, some of the stuff you know in the early breaks you know of the NBA and stuff like that. Man, he used to pull some terrific cards. You know, he'd do wrestling breaks and stuff like, you know, wrestling card breaks and stuff like that too. And he just had the gift, man. It was crazy. Yeah. Some of the pulls that he would get, and you're like, holy yes. And everybody sort of dubbed him the Mojo King. So he just sort of took that and ran with it. And it's own phenomenon now.
See, yeah, it's all a tribute. I like the guy. Oh, I don't even know him.
Oh, that's excellent. Next time I message him, I'll let him know you're trying to plagiarize his name.
Yeah, bring it on. I wanted to join a break soon. What?
On it, man. Eureka Sports Cards.
We'll see. All right, have a good week, everyone.
Once you're in the cult, you'll never get out.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear. See ya.